Students,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, students. This is your instructor again, Jessica McBride, doing another Blog Talk Radio show. This program should be pretty interesting because what we're going to try to do is patch in the two leaders of CATER, the UW-Milwaukee Center for Aging and Translational Research that you've heard so much about in the PowerPoints. I thought it was really important that you heard directly from those leaders, and as opposed to just me talking about them or me giving you a dry PowerPoint about them. So I have one of them here right now, and I'm going to patch her in. Hello, are you there?
Me, Rochelle is here.
Hi, Rochelle. This is Jessica. You are actually broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio right now. And
okay.
So for the students who will be listening to this, they can hear everything you say. And students, this is Rochelle. I'm pronouncing your name correctly, right?
That's correct.
Rochelle Aliota. And is Meg calling it? Because we have a second person from CATER who's going to be joining us. I guess we can get started, though, Rochelle, and if Meg calls in, we can patch her in, but you and I can just get started for the students here, if that's okay.
Sure.
So I had given the introduction to the students in the show before you called in, and I had said that, you know, I've been talking a lot about CATER and the project in PowerPoints and sort of the written word, and I think it's really important for the students to hear directly from you and from people affiliated with the center who are, after all, our clients. In, you know, a real life, and this is real life, but, you know, if you're out in industry and you're a social media manager for a client, for a company or a nonprofit organization or a news organization, it's really important that you listen to that client, that you understand what their goals are, their objective, their mission, that you have a true understanding of who they are and what they're hoping to accomplish with social media. So you would never just go take over someone's site or an organization's site and just sort of randomly post. Obviously not. There's a lot of preparations into it on the front end. And that's what this is designed to do. It's to begin that conversation between the students, who are the social media managers, so they will be, and your organization. So I just wanted to start by asking you to explain to the students, and I actually think Meg is calling in, so I will patch her in, but while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask you to explain to the students what CATER is, and I'm pronouncing that right, correct? It's the Center for Aging and Translational Research. And if you could just explain to them, you know, what exactly it is. But let me patch Meg in first so that she's talking to us too while we do that. Hi, Meg. Can you hear me?
Hello. Yes.
Hi. So we're all talking now live on the internet, and the students will be listening to this archive. So I had done this preamble and the setup, and in the interest of time, I won't go back through it. But essentially, this is designed to introduce the students to you guys, to CATER, its mission, what it does. So the first question I had posed to Rochelle is, you know, what is CATER? Can you explain what the Center for Aging and Translational Research is and what it does?
So we've been around since the middle of 2013, and I actually came on board in October of 2013. And the center really, the goal is to centralize all of the aging-type services that we have in at UWM in one location. And we really want to do it in a multidisciplinary way. So although we don't particularly belong to one school or college, we collaborate with a number of schools and colleges in the university to provide the services that we do. So we do three things. Number one, we do research on the topic of aging, and we have center scientists that are working out there in the field doing research on a variety of topics. We also have affiliated scientists. Those are scientists that we don't have necessarily a formal agreement with their school or college, but we do provide a level of support to them as they're doing their research. And then the second piece is education. And my role as the Director of Education and Programming is to develop educational programs on the topic of aging. So we currently have two certificate programs. One is a graduate certificate in applied gerontology. That's 18 credits for graduate students that either want to just come back to school and beef up on their skills and their knowledge on the topic of aging, or people that are pursuing their master's degree or PhD and they want to add on a certificate. So we've been doing that certificate since 2004. The second certificate we have is relatively new, which started in the fall of 2015. It's for undergraduate students, and it's called the Certificate in Healthy Aging. It's also 18 credits. If students choose to do that certificate and do it early on in their college career, they can actually knock off their general ed requirements at the same time that they are completing the certificate. And in fact, we've added this course, JAMS 380, to our list of offerings this semester. So this course that the students are currently taking, right, will count toward that certificate. The other thing we do in terms of education is we reach out to the community, which kind of overlaps with our third goal is community outreach. We do continuing ed for people in working with older adults, caring for older adults, or people that are just interested in learning more about their own aging. So we might run a workshop on fall prevention or yoga for the caregiver, or we might do something on loss and grief as we age. And most of the time, the people that are coming to those sessions are licensed social workers. We might have nurses. We've had architects come to those sessions. So that's the third component of our education kind of focus. We also teach a class that was conceptualized and implemented out of the center and are always looking to implement and create new classes so students can be learning about aging. So that pretty much covers education, research, and then the community outreach is just trying to connect with the community to translate research into practice.
So I wanted to bring Meg into the conversation, and so now that we know more what CATER does, Meg, could you explain like who you are, your title, and how CATER has used social media in the past, and how CATER is hoping to use social media in the future? Like what are you hoping to achieve with social media and by being on it?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Meg Zaman. I'm the Communications and Public Relations Associate here at CATER. So our social media right now has been run by interns on a semester-by-semester basis, and it has been very active, but not very methodical. It's been kind of directionless. You can see the kinds of posts that have gone up already on our social media are a lot of just shared articles from other institutions or listicles or just kind of random things that are related to aging, but not very specific beyond that. I think ideally, we would really like to use our social media. One thing would be to educate the followers on different resources or events or groups or places, any types of things that are happening in Milwaukee or that might be relevant in their lives. Social media could be a good way of communicating those things. Also, kind of obviously a little bit of self-promotion. We are in a unique position here as an aging center to appeal to both the aging population and also the younger generations of people who will ultimately be caring for the aging population and to make what we do relevant to younger people. And I think social media is a really important and awesome way of doing that by kind of getting it in the hands of younger folks, but to also kind of brand ourselves as a high-level research center, but also an accessible resource for information.
I think that's a really important point. Sorry, go ahead.
Can I just add to that, Meg?
Yeah.
I know that.
Sorry, I interrupted her.
That's okay.
Jessica, that's fine.
when you did your first blog talk, you talked about the idea that we're probably not a place that you'd want to get a client in the door. But I want to kind of reframe that a little bit because we do want clients, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here. We do want clients in the door. We want students to sign up for our graduate certificate in applied gerontology. We want students to come in and talk with me about the certificate in healthy aging. We want social workers out in the field to come to our continuing ed. We want students to register for our Age to Perfection class that we run in the fall. So in that way, we do want our social media to help us bring clients in the door as well.
I think that's a really important point. I apologize, Mike, for interrupting you before. What I was going to ask actually ties into what Rochelle just said, so I'll kick it back to you, Mike. I was going to ask about the target audience for your social. And it sounds like, you know, I mean, we don't want students to think you're only trying to target the elderly population or reach them with your social posts. And I think Rochelle just, you know, clarified that really well. How would you define, Meg, your target audience for social posts?
Well, Rochelle and I were actually just looking yesterday at the kind of followers that we have right now, and it looks like it's mostly college-age women, which is probably a lot of people who are enrolled in our different educational programs and certificates. So I think one goal would be to reach more of the over 65 population. Only 7% currently of our followers are over 65, which is the main demographic or one of the main demographics of the people we're trying to serve. So I think to get them more involved in our social media would be really important. Also, we're 70% followed by women right now, and I think we should aim for a more even gender balance in our followers too for a variety of reasons. But I think to just reach a population that's more than just our students here on campus would be a good goal to have in mind.
And so could you explain some of the issues that aging research touches on and some of the key issues that the center is researching and is interested in relating to aging? Like, how would you define some of those topics?
Well,
I guess, Rochelle, we could kick it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rochelle would be better to answer that.
I think there's three issues right now that maybe we may want to focus on when it comes to social media. One is there's this changing political climate right now, and how will older adults be impacted by some of the changes that may be coming along, and how can we communicate that to older adults as well as young people or people between those ages that might be caring for someone that's, you know, in need of services. The other piece is that there's a huge shift in demographics in terms of age. So as the baby boomers age, we're going to see a huge shift from a younger population to an older population. In fact, they're predicting by 2030, there will be about one in every four people will be over the age of 65. How do we take care of those folks? How do we support them, particularly from what perspective of health and wellness? And then I think another piece is kind of the third ism out there is ageism, and how do we help people deal with some of the ageism and shifting the way we think about older adults and their contributions to society. So those are some of the things I think that are kind of looming. I know we're doing research on how music impacts memory. I know we're doing research on how to stay physically fit. We have a slew of kinesiology professors that are researching fitness in older adults. So those are some of the areas that I think are really important for us to think about for the future. One other thing, I did briefly mention attracting people to the field of aging, but how do we translate the research out there into something that's understandable for anybody that may not be in academics? So that can be a really huge challenge. If you read a scholarly paper, you have to read it 3-4 times to really understand it. And how do we translate that information so it can be used by the public? And the last piece, I think, is navigating systems. It's pretty complicated out there as an older adult or as a child, an adult child caring for an older adult. How do you navigate all the systems that older adults deal with as they age?
I think that's really interesting, and you articulated it very well. It seems to me that Cater has sort of multiple missions and objectives for social media, what you hope it will accomplish, and that's common, and that's great, and I think you put those very well. Meg, I was hoping you could give the students just a little bit of the nuts and bolts about Cater, too, so they can kind of anchor it in their minds. Like, where are you guys based? How many staff members do you have? How long has it existed? And things like that.
Sure. So we have existed since the middle of 2013. I've been on the staff for just a couple months, actually, but we are located in the Northwest Quad, Building B up the orange elevators, on the fourth floor. There's signs on the floor that can direct you. We're kind of just a smattering of offices here, and the staff is pretty small, but we have a whole list of scientists who contribute to our work. But we have, there's a position for a research director. Rochelle is in the education and community. She handles those things. And then the director, Scott Strath. Lydia works in our in one of the offices and is kind of the program director and helps facilitate things across the board. And then I do all of the design work and marketing and publications and web updates, email blasts, things like that. There's normally someone here every day, but we all kind of have variable hours. But yeah.
That brings up a good point, too. You mentioned email blasts and so forth. What other marketing techniques and PR techniques does Cater currently use? So just so that we can envision how social media fits into a bigger puzzle, if there is one.
Well, we do an email blast that's kind of an official news blast to a lot of our stakeholders in the university community and beyond. That just happens twice a year and is kind of loaded with the highlights of the last 6 months. And then we do marketing kind of on an individual basis just around campus for our classes and certificates. We've done banners in the union. We do flyers in relevant buildings to try to attract students to enroll in our courses as well. I think social media could potentially be a piece of that puzzle of attracting students to the classes as well, though.
One thing I think is really interesting is it only existed since 2013. So it's not like it's a center that's been around for 50 years, but that presents a real opportunity for the students because you're so new in a sense, you're not completely new, but you're new enough that probably one of the objectives here needs to simply be letting people know you exist and helping people understand what Cater does and why it's important. And
right.
I mean, you have a brand, but we could improve that. We could increase it. We could make people more aware of that just because you're sort of relatively new, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point now that I'm thinking about it. Sorry, can I jump in on that real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Because we don't have like a fancy, glitzy office space or even really anything that glamorous to show physically, I think that almost puts more pressure on the social media to put kind of a real polished professional presence for us on the web, maybe
but
even more so than places that have been around longer. Yeah.
Yeah, but the work your center does, it impacts so many people, and it's so important, and it's a topic that sort of affects everybody, so there's so much potential there, I think. We have 10 minutes. It's going to go very fast, so I'm going to kick it to Rochelle and maybe conclude. If you could explain to the students, we had this interesting conversation about millennials and the elderly and so forth, and I'm wondering just your thoughts on how aging is relevant to perhaps the college-age students who are being the social media managers and the university population in general? Like, how can that be perceived as relevant in your mind?
Well, it's interesting because if we're lucky, we're all going to get there. We're all going to be 65 or older. We're all aging. We have family members that are aging, and I think I teach this Age to Perfection class in the fall every year, and we actually hold it at St. John's on the Lake, which is a retirement community over on Prospect Avenue. and residents from, that live there, 12 to 15 of them come to the class. And it's interesting to watch students move from this kind of fearful interaction with the older adults to, by the end of the class, there's this these wonderful relationships built with these older adults. And I think the field of aging is not attractive because there are a lot of assumptions we make about older adults and their value. And throughout the class, you see them shifting and seeing how important the stories and the perspective that they get from the older adults becomes for them. And so I think one of the things we do want to do is figure out how we can make the field of aging and knowing about our own aging as well as our loved ones' aging relevant and just something we all should know about. Because no matter what field you go into, whether you go into architecture and someone's wanting to age in place, which means you have to, and that may be a new term for people, but what that means is many older adults are choosing to live their lives out in the home that they're currently in rather than moving into a nursing home. So how do you adapt that home as an architect or an interior designer so that it works for that older adult? Communication with older adults as they navigate a system, how do you help with health literacy? So anyone going into communication, that may be a specialty area. Social workers that deal with geriatrics. How do you write about the older adult population, whether it's in journalism or a science publication? So virtually everybody's going to need knowledge about this and about gerontology. So I hope I've answered your question.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, you really captured something well, which is sort of the emotion behind this and the ties that people forged. And I'm hoping the students go far beyond, obviously, like just sharing news stories about the elderly or something. I really hope mm-hmm. they put some emotion behind the post. Some of them have great video skills. Some have great publication design skills. Those that do, I'm hoping, can really put those into play. I'm hoping they can capture the humanity behind some of the older adults, you know, attached to CATER and some of the programs that CATER offers and maybe some of these relationships that have, you know, come about. And I'm just hoping they capture people behind the issues as much as they can. We have 6 minutes, so I wanted to ask Meg, if you guys have given any thought to the sort of numerical and concrete goals of, you know, how many more likes do we want to get on Facebook and how many more followers on Twitter, and do we have any concrete objectives that we can share for the students? And I would also add really quickly here for them that in a future Blog Talk Radio show, before they actually do the social media management, we're going to talk again, and we're going to explain to them very concretely the posting categories that we hope or that we're going to require, you know, them to follow, and sort of we're going to talk more about mm-hmm. the content that we're hoping to see. But what are your sort of concrete numerical goals?
Right now, our Facebook has 210 likes, and our Twitter has 269 followers. I think that 500 for both would be a really good goal. I mean, you can jump in here, Jessica, if you want. I don't know if that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like maybe a lot on a week-by-week basis, but also 500 is not that many followers to get to, so maybe it would be easy since we're kind of starting at ground or square one here. So, does that seem reasonable to you?
Yeah, to give you a sense for Medium Walk here, a student news site, we've been doing a similar sort of project out of JAMS 320 reporting class. And I would say that on average, each semester, we're able to grow our Facebook. We focus more on that by about 700 likes. But we're a news site.
Oh.
It's a little bit easier, I think, when you're pushing out news content, which is sometimes controversial, or, you know, there's breaking news, perhaps, to get likes. I think
mm-hmm.
it's tougher with a center you know, or a nonprofit. I actually am sort of hoping in the back of my mind they can get you to 750 on each platform, maybe even 1,000. That might be pie in the sky. I think our low ball hope is 500. If we don't hit 500 on both, I'd be disappointed. But, you know, in the back of my head, I'm sort of hoping they can do even more. I think you have an extraordinarily talented team of students here. I was just reading last night a lot of their essays where they introduce themselves to me and they explain their backgrounds, and I was sort of blown away by just the richness of social media experience that a lot of these students already have. You have students who have worked or are working for UWM PR and social media, and you know, for companies, for businesses. There are others who are just starting out, which is also completely fine. It's going to be a really interesting mix, I think, and they seem so engaged, and I don't know, we'll see how far they can take it. But I do think 500 is sort of a good starting point, right? We at least want to get there. So we're going to look at the content, but we're going to assess the metrics too, of course, and what do we end up with.
Yeah.
I guess I would conclude, you got 3 minutes, Rochelle, if maybe you could just sum it up by explaining, like, why Cater wanted to work with the JAMS class and students, and I guess just what you're hoping they accomplish, you know, what you're hoping they can bring to Cater.
Well, I'm excited to hear how talented they are, and I'm hoping they can bring all those talents. And I think sometimes I get in a box and I can't think outside that box. And I find when I interact with students at UWM, there's so many ideas of different ways we can approach things. And that's what I'm looking for is, yeah, come forth with your creativity. And, you know, we'd be willing to consider most anything in terms of, you know, your ideas. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I'm also hoping that this ends up being a really rich learning experience for them. So those are my two hopes.
Yeah, that's great. And it occurs to me in hearing all of the courses that you offer and various things, we need to make sure the students get, before they start the social media management, a master list of the courses offered by Cater that you're hoping to promote on social media and what those classes are and any events that will be coming up in the spring. Now, it's an online class, so I can't make people go to things in person. I'm not going to do that per se because they could be in Green Bay or overseas for all I know taking the class, but I do know that there are a number of students who are around campus who are enrolled, and certainly if they wanted to go to that degree and go take video or photos or talk to people at some of your events and your researchers and things, that would be wonderful, and it would certainly be something a very adept social media manager would do. I guess, Meg,
yeah,
I'll let you
I think
the
that's
final
something
word.
We talked about.
The final word.
Oh. Well, to your point, though, some of the courses, the classes on campus and the continuing ed sessions might be really good places to connect with people who are already using our services and use that as kind of fodder for some of the posts that you might want to put up.
If I was doing this and I were the student and I were on campus, I would go to one of the continuing ed classes. I would put up a little video. You know, I wouldn't just be sort of sitting there on my computer just sharing things on the internet. I would be sort of out gathering human voices and stories and moments that would be really meaningful to social media readers, I think. So we have like 30 seconds. So in conclusion here, before we all get cut off on Blog Talk Radio, I just wanted to thank you both. I really appreciate that you're offering this opportunity to our students. I know they're really excited about it, and I think you're going to be really impressed.
We're really excited about it, too.
Yeah, it's going to be. And I'm more excited, you know, when I read what they write and their backgrounds and how excited they seem. So thank you very much, and we will do this again. We're going to do this several times this semester, and in the next one we'll talk about posting categories and give them more specific direction on the type of content we want to see. So I guess we can all just hang up our phones now. That's the beauty of internet radio.
Goodbye.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.